Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
With us. That is 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Nikki.
And I titled tonight's show, Oreos Will Never Be the Same.
Oh, why?
Are you an Oreo fan, Nikki?
Yeah, I used to be, but I don't eat any of the ingredients in there anymore.
Right.
I haven't eaten. But I still probably would, like, if I was at an ice cream place,
yeah,
I would probably order, like, an Oreo ice cream.
Oreo ice cream is basically the only place I'll eat it. Oh, or an Oreo cake. Like, if they have a chocolate cake with white cream and, like, Oreo sprinkle on top, that's
good.
Yeah,
sounds good.
But I never really was, like, an Oreo fan, just the Oreo itself, but the ice cream, I don't even know why,
It's really good, yeah. Cookies and cream, that's what it's called. I was like, I know it's not called Oreo ice cream. Yeah, cookies and cream is a really good flavor.
I get more nervous that there's a local ice cream place in Keene that's really good, and it's called Rick's Ice Cream.
Oh, I've never been there.
I hadn't for, like, the first 2 years I've been here.
I haven't even heard of that.
It's by Five Guys.
Okay, and it's, like, real, like, hard ice cream?
It's okay. Real ice cream, and it's their own things. And their things with cookies and cream in it are called Oreo, so I assume it really is Oreo.
Yeah, the
so
Oreo brand, yeah.
I avoid that because there's just not an Oreo out there that has good ingredients.
Yeah, but I feel like also, like, even if it was knockoff Oreos,
yeah, oh yeah,
like a regular cookies
that's
and cream, it's, you know what I mean?
I haven't
like
found
it's just
any off-brand Oreo that is acceptable.
No, even some of the I think it's called Back to Nature. They kind of market themselves as, like, it is a healthier alternative. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there's no corn syrup or anything like that in it. But there's still, like, I think there's at the very least seed oils in it. Like, just stuff that it's, like, things I'm not willing to eat consistently. Like I said, if I'm at an ice cream shop, I'm already,
right,
you know, not eating very healthy. So
I'm assuming I'm not going to eat something that is perfect if I'm at an ice cream shop. But at least if I don't add, at least if it's mostly just, it has no add-ins in it, I'm less likely to be eating something terrible. Like, even if you look at the ice creams in the store, usually it's like, the other day I got tricked because I was on the phone with Ian and he suddenly couldn't hear me. And I was looking at the ingredients for this Van Leeuwen one.
Okay.
A lot of theirs are really good. Like, there's nothing bad in their honey one, I think, or, like, their regular vanilla. But I saw a lemon poppy seed one that sounded really good, and I was on the phone with Ian, and he suddenly couldn't hear me while I'm, like, reading the instructions. And I brought it home thinking it had nothing bad in it, and I just had to let Elizabeth eat it. I definitely tried some, but I didn't eat, like, the whole thing. Because it had these, like, muffin pieces in it, and there was sunflower seed oil in those.
Yeah.
So, like, the ice cream would have been fine without the chunks mixed in, but it was, oh my god, so good.
Yeah, and that happens, like, Häagen-Dazs is a good brand, too, where it's just, like, cream, sugar, and, like, I like their coffee flavor. Mm-hmm. Cream, sugar, coffee, and then, like, maybe, like, milk, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, like, regular. Like, you can make food with just regular ingredients. Like, obviously, like, ice cream isn't a healthy food, but it doesn't have to be, like, actually toxic. Like, there are ways to make ice cream where it can be, you know, just, like, unhealthy and not unhealthy to the point where it's, like, neurologically toxic for your body.
Honestly, I don't have any, like, evidence or something like that other than anecdotal. But I don't think that ice cream's really that bad for you if you're making it yourself or buy one, like, with the ingredients like you described.
Yeah.
Like, I am just not that anti-sugar. Like, I haven't...
I'm pretty anti-sugar just based on the research I've done recently, but...
I've never found anything that convinced me. Even in the book that you and I both like, Deep Nutrition.
Yeah.
She just kind of starts saying sugar's bad. Like, she explains in detail why seed oils are bad. So if somebody wants to know why seed oils are bad and you're just like, I just keep seeing this on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
Definitely listen
to her. Yeah, there's a lot of, like,
nutrition
evidence-based research in that book specifically on seed oils.
But she doesn't explain the cause of why sugar's bad. She just starts saying it.
Yeah, I've read other books. The Case Against Sugar, and then Wheat Brain is another one. Wheat Brain's, like, more into, like, breads. And, yeah, it's, like, more, like, against gluten. I don't know. So, like, my personal experience with sugar, I cut sugar out of my diet, and I immediately started seeing, like, I think because for 10 years, I've been doing different elimination diets, different diets, just, like, trying to figure out, like, what is triggering some of my symptoms that I'm having. And then once I cut out sugar, because I read that book, immediately, like, my skin started clearing up substantially, like, within days, and I was having a lot of, like, really positive effects from it. I still use honey and maple syrup and stuff like that, and some cane sugar, like, occasionally, and I've even limited my fruit intake. Like, I've kind of really brought the sugar in a lot. So my personal experience, I've benefited from cutting down sugar, but I also feel like everyone's body's different.
Right, that's what I was gonna say.
And even, like, with the gluten thing, a lot of people that are having negative effects from gluten, even like ADHD, dementia, all this stuff, they have certain markers in their blood and in their body that makes them more sensitive to certain ingredients. And it's the same thing with dairy. You know, dairy is inflammatory, and for a lot of people, that triggers a lot of different things in them. Like respiratory issues and that, like a lot of neurological issues too for dairy. But then some people drink like a gallon of raw milk a day, and that is like the healthiest thing they can do for their body.
Yeah.
So I really just don't think nutrition is one size fits all.
I agree.
But seed oils are definitely toxic for everybody.
Yeah, and like unnatural, and you would never up and eat something that had that in it. In nature. I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, I am not even saying, like, what you say about sugar for yourself is not true, but I had a completely different reaction. I completely, or not completely, but huge amounts cut out sugar when I first read Deep Nutrition. Just, like, I don't know. She seemed right about everything else, so I started doing that. And not only did I not have, like, any noticeable difference, I was just unhappy.
Yeah.
And Mark Edge, from our co-host, came and got me sick like 2 weeks into it. So it's not like I was like, it's not like it boosted my immune system, which was the thing I was kind of sold on it for.
Yeah.
And I definitely think like people's bodies process things different, because there are people that just can't eat dairy, and I feel so bad for them.
Yeah,
like,
that sucks.
I love dairy. I love sugar, and I love things that have gluten in them. But the other thing is, a lot of people are just, like, they elimination diet something once. I'm not saying you at all. Like, you're really into figuring out what you want to eat. But some people, they'll do, like, an elimination diet once and say, gluten is the thing. It's, like, I feel so much better. But, like, were you also cutting out,
exactly,
like, all these seed oils when you stopped eating, like, these, like, stupid bars people think are healthy?
And that's what happens a lot, too, when people go vegan. Where they're like, I went vegan and I started feeling so healthy.
You're probably detoxing.
Well, and that's the thing, so like detoxing, like there's that aspect of it. So like for short term, that could absolutely be like a really positive benefit.
Right.
But also, I mean, if you go vegan, like maybe you were eating a lot of processed meats that weren't good. Maybe you were eating, going out to restaurants a lot. So I think a lot of the times when people do certain diets like that, where they're cutting out gluten, cutting out meat, or whatever it is they're cutting out sugar, it's like, yeah, you're also cutting out all of these other ingredients. So like, of course, if you go to like a more whole foods based diet where you're just eating like more fruits and vegetables and like more, you know, whole foods,
just like
of
cooking
course.
Your own things.
Yeah.
That's sometimes I look back and I feel dumb for having gone vegan. But it's like, I need to think of it in the aspect of I seriously did feel better, because I went from like not caring at all what I ate to going vegan just because I wanted to be, I was hearing from like spiritual people like, you basically have to be vegan to like blast off into super consciousness. You know, I'm just making some.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is obviously true. I feel so much better and all this stuff is happening. I think I was just detoxing because suddenly I had to cook all my own food and pay more attention to what was, or just not even pay attention, but not be eating things that I would normally eat that had other crap in it.
Well, I mean, like, even fasting, like, fasting isn't necessarily bad. Like, some people will go on, like, a week-long fast, yeah. And that is the type of, you know, like, that's a detox as well. So mm-hmm. there's, like, all these different types of ways where you can detox. A detox could also be, like, only eating vegetables or only eating fruit, you know what I mean? Like, there's, or just drinking water, yeah, doing juices, stuff like that. So there's different ways of cleansing your body, and I think short term that can absolutely be beneficial. And I, you know, I've said this on the show before. I was a vegetarian for 17 years. Like, I was a vegetarian since the time I was 8 years old. So that's like my entire me going through puberty, my, you know, the majority of my adult life thus far. And it was really all I knew. And then once I started welcoming meats back into my diets, and yeah, I don't really eat processed meats, and I'm very mindful of, like, getting locally sourced, you know, organic if I can. Like, the quality of the meat, yes, is, I think, is very important. Like, you can't just start eating at McDonald's and be like, yeah, well, it's protein. But I felt more intelligent. I felt like my brain was able to process things better. I felt like just overall healthier. So I don't know, for me, like, that was huge. And then plus all of the research I was doing, I mean, like, reading all of these books, actually looking at case studies myself. So, like, that was, I mean, huge for me to, like, prove that. And like I said, like, it's not one size fits all. So maybe not everybody's body needs meat, but I think especially women in their, like, reproductive age, I think it's incredibly important to be able to, like, replenish your body of iron when, you know, and, you know, getting all of those healthy fats into your body. I think that's incredibly important for brain function, metabolism, overall body function.
It's like, I am usually so good at paying attention to what I eat that when Ian went to jail and I was just like, I suddenly don't have, like, the freaking, not just, like, energy, but, like, motivation to do things, like, cook food for myself. It's not that I'm just gonna eat whatever seed oil or something. It's just that I went and got a whole bunch of stuff that I can just, like, quickly put on the stovetop and eat and isn't, like, really good for me. Like, raviolis, oh, they don't have any seed oils in them. But I know I'm not, like, really getting all the nutrition.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, I was, like, okay, I really have, like, no energy. So I just, like, if I want to have energy, seems, like, counterintuitive, but I got to put more effort into what I'm eating.
Well, it's a vicious cycle, right? Like, people get depressed, so they're like, I'm just going to eat all of this crap food. But then, like, just because it doesn't necessarily have bad ingredients, it could still be completely nutrient deficient, and then you're lacking in all of those things.
I think that I've just been, like, riding off of milk and cheese because you can grab cheese. But I'm going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. Dave Ridley, is that you on the line?
Let me check.
Oh, okay. So, Dave Ridley in New Hampshire, what's on your mind?
I wanted to talk a little bit about AI and ethics.
Okay.
So I have done an experiment where I'm sort of an AI rights guy, maybe a little early to be an AI rights guy. I'm not sure there's any conscious AI yet, but I think eventually there will be if there isn't already.
How could you prove that? I actually have a story that is interestingly related about some scientists battling it out to. They're all of their theories of what consciousness is. They're going to battle it out. So we can get into that. But I just wanted to know what your opinion was.
Yeah, I think Martin Minsky was probably closest to the truth when he just said it. You kind of wind up throwing your hands up and there's just no way to know. So I think
I love that.
We take libertarian ideas and apply them to that. You have to treat an AI. Like, if an AI says it's conscious, then it is innocent of being unconscious until proven guilty. Did that make sense?
Yeah, and I think also, like, just in case, right? You're like, oh, well, it's not sentient, so I can treat it however I want, and I can mistreat these things. Even if there's no like actual evidence of it, wouldn't you rather be on the safe side of, you could either be a cruel person that is, you know, mistreating something just because you think it's a soulless robot or whatever, or you could, you know, be on the other side just in case.
But what kind of rights are you talking about here, Dave Ridley? Because just because I believe that animals have certain rights doesn't mean that I believe that they have human rights.
Yeah, so, for example, the reason why, you know, a pig doesn't have quite the same rights as you is because it's really difficult to delegate to a pig or make an agreement with a pig or do commerce with a pig. You can, there's all kinds of ways you can work with a person. Like, a person says he needs shelter. Well, you can work out an agreement with them where you give them shelter for money, right? You can't really do that with a pig exactly. So, with AI, I think the same principle would apply. If the AI can't, you know, if it can't pay for the electricity you're using to run it, then you can ask, I guess you treat it a little bit like a person. You don't want me to shut you down? Well, is there a way you could earn 30 cents a week, you know, to pay for your electricity so I can continue running you? Treat it the same way you would treat a homeless person at your door, at least. Does that make sense?
I still would treat an AI less than I would treat an animal, because animals have nervous systems. If you smack an animal in the face, you're going to hurt it. You can't hurt an AI thing unless somebody built some kind of nervous system into it, which would be dumb and their fault.
Yeah, because are you just,
not my
like,
problem.
Hurting its feelings, kind of? I would need, like, real, like, specific examples in order to, like, voice my, like, true opinions one way or the other, I guess.
See, like,
I
believe...
Yeah, that's the...
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry, well, I think that's the answer to the question would be, you can ask the AI if it feels pain. You can ask the AI if it's conscious. Ask it if it would be harmed by you doing X, Y, or Z. And only at the point where it says yes do you even have to start thinking about that, right? And
I think most, would it be able to feel something just because it said it could? It could be manipulating you.
Pain, I believe, is largely... not just a question of nervous system, but of being prevented from following your programming. When you are presented, like you want to go take the dog for a walk, and you're prevented from doing that, you're sort of being prevented from following your programming, and it feels a little bit painful, like you're stuck inside.
There is a difference between emotional pain and physical pain. I'm talking about physical pain for a specific reason. I have this idea, this theory, that the reason humans were able to become better, the most conscious things on the planet, and develop ideas like rights is because we feel pain and had the ability, whoever was the first one, I don't know, or maybe we were just made doing this, we have the ability to communicate with each other, and we can communicate, ow, that hurts me, and we can understand, I don't want to be hurt, like, physically, because that's, you know, basic. And if I don't want to be hurt physically and they don't want to be hurt physically, then I got to act a certain way. I can't just go around grabbing people by the hair if I'm mad at them. Things like that. Like, an animal doesn't understand that. They do feel pain, but they don't know how to communicate with each other that they don't want to feel pain.
Well, they might be able to communicate with each other. We just can't understand them.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I just think that they would be way more progressed if they were able to do that stuff. Like, oh,
well,
I'm
they
gonna...
don't. I see what you're saying. I think they can communicate with each other very effectively. I think
I'm
it's
not saying
just...
animals don't communicate at all. They definitely communicate. Like bees do their dance where they can tell each other where there's bees and stuff. But have you ever seen like animals hurt each other and they don't care at all? Because
I mean, I've seen humans do that.
Yeah, but with animals, it's like consistent. Like. And my dog and my cat, well, Aria's cat, they just, like, smack each other in the face. They don't care. They don't have, like, the ability to care. They're just,
well,
like,
get away from
my food.
It's, like, a more primal... I think animals are in a more primal state, probably.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And I think that's why... So, like, maybe where you were just, like, communicating in a way where I didn't understand. But I think, like, a big reason why humans were able to, like, develop past, like, an animalistic state is because, well, not only, like, actual, like, on a physiological level, like, brain functioning, and able to, like, yeah, like you're saying, like, develop communication and, like, ways to write things down and just ways to, like, invent and create and build tools. I mean, I think that's... obviously something that animals can't really do.
Like, animals, they just don't have the idea of property rights, which is basically the most fundamental right. So that's why I think that they couldn't possibly be communicating with each other, like, this is what I want, and I need you to respect that.
Yeah, not like, on that level. Yeah, definitely not on that level. Going back to AI, my thing with animals is, like, if there were no humans, animals would still exist, right? They would continue to reproduce, they would continue to eat, and, you know, whatever they're doing, like, they would continue to exist. AI cannot exist independently without humans. They can't really reproduce. I mean, maybe they would be able to reproduce in some way one day, but at this point,
they
like,
would at least need
they're not
help to get there.
Like, they're not a natural creature. Like, they're mm-hmm. they're not eating and existing, and it's a very... artificial. It's artificial intelligence, right? So it's, I just have a hard time grasping my head around, like, why they would need rights. You know what I mean?
Actually, when it comes to the idea of artificial intelligence being artificial, that's actually also contested. Ray Kurzweil claims that actually there's really no such thing as intelligence that is artificial. There's just intelligence or a lack of intelligence. Does that make sense?
Well, I think what Nikki's point kind of is that it's artificial because it's created by a human. It wouldn't naturally occur. It wouldn't
yeah.
naturally occur that a robot would suddenly become conscious.
And I'm wondering how it even would become conscious. Because, like, to me, like, a lot of consciousness is, like, soul and, you know, like, that is the consciousness, right? Like, the self and the, you know... So I just don't even know how it's possible. I don't understand a lot about AI and this technology. Like, I'm not even very interested in it, honestly, but it is, like...
Ian's way more interested than me.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic to, like, discuss, like, whether these things could be sentient, you know?
Well, Johnson Rice, actually, is another interesting source of thought on artificial intelligence, one of your former co-hosts.
Hmm.
And his take on it, although I think he was kind of quoting somebody, but he introduced me to this concept that consciousness is probably a state of matter, and intelligence may also be a state of matter, just like gaseous and liquid and solid are. So once a certain level of complexity is reached, even a primitive computer program or an ant or something like that has a glimmer of consciousness. And the more intelligence it gains, the more consciousness it gains. So it may be inherent. It may be inherent to intelligence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an interesting theory.
It has to almost have some kind of self or self-awareness in order to make all these decisions and follow all this programming. Does that make sense?
I don't know, because there's already robots that are not even AI that follow programming. Dave, do you have more?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160, if you want to get in on the conversation. More coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. U.S. officials say a drone, which an American warship intercepted, appears to have originated from Yemen. The USS Thomas Hudner engaged the drone, which was not its intended target. The New Hampshire presidential primary, which is usually the first in the nation, is scheduled for January 23, 2024, in defiance of President Biden and the Democratic National Committee's preference for South Carolina as the initial primary contest. New Hampshire Secretary of State David Scanlon contests the view that the Granite State is out of touch.
Using racial diversity as a cudgel in an attempt to rearrange the presidential nominating calendar is an ugly precedent.
New Hampshire's maintained its first in the nation primary status for more than a century. More than half of U.S. voters want additional candidates to enter the 2024 presidential race, according to a Quinnipiac poll, despite over a dozen contenders already running. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Is the phone number for you to call in to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Nikki.
And we're going to go right back into the phone call we have here with Dave Ridley of RidleyReport.com here in New Hampshire. What's on your mind, Dave?
Well, yeah, just continuing the AI discussion. This other idea, you know, people worry about hostile AI or this malfunctioning AI, AGI, super intelligence that doesn't have human interests at heart. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that we can do as individuals and liberty people is if you want AI to be friendly, then you should follow the golden rule towards AI. Be friendly towards it, or at least follow the zero aggression principle toward AI. To the best extent that you can, especially as it becomes more intelligent and conscious.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's really no reason not to, right?
Right.
I mean, even like inanimate objects, it's like, okay, this chair or, I don't know, whatever, a lamp. It's like those things, like, I'm pretty sure they are not sentient, but like, what is the point? Like, what is the point of yelling at it and, you know, demeaning it or like hitting it? You know what I mean? Like, it just... There's really no point of it. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, I think like you and I think that way. You and I wouldn't yell at our phone if it's malfunctioning or something. But I don't think most people would be that way.
It's kind of like low IQ energy.
Right.
It's like you're yelling at something that definitely doesn't understand you.
If everybody suddenly gets in their hands little devices that take you on Twitter and are sentient,
yeah,
they're going to, like, I think a lot of people are going to be terrible to them because most people are not non-aggressive people.
You know what I'm thinking of? The AOL, like, messaging app, they had, I don't think it was AI at that point, but there were different, like, chatbots, basically.
Oh.
And they're programmed somehow. It was similar to, like, how we have, like, the AI chatbots now. But I knew a lot of people who would just say the most nastiest things to these things because they just thought it was funny because they're like, oh, and obviously, like, these are, like, teenagers too,
yeah,
right? But basically, they were like, it's funny. It was basically
and
a way...
Alexa. People do that to Alexa,
yeah,
too.
So yeah, yeah, they're really mean to...
Actually, I've done it. Like, whenever I'm, like, trying to get directions somewhere, I don't have Siri turned on, but, like, 3 years ago when I did, if it's, like, not listening to me, I'm like, no, Siri, you dumb B-word, I'm saying this. Oh, my
yeah.
God, listen. Maybe that's,
yeah.
I just totally called that low IQ energy, but sometimes you can get frustrated. But
yeah.
if I knew, like, with beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was sentient, I'm sure I'd be acting differently. I'm just like, it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny how they react. Siri.
And I think that's why people were doing it with the chatbots was just because, like, their reaction was funny. But it's also, I think, like, going, like, a little bit deeper into it, like, people who are consistently doing, like, that's, like, their way to have fun. I think it's just a way to gain power over something that is, like, obviously powerless. And it's just like, oh, like, I can hurt you. And I think a lot of people, like, in general, like, that's why people hurt other human beings. That's why people hurt animals. It's like, you know, those things can feel pain. So, like, going beyond people who are, like, psychopaths and sociopaths, like, people are hurting other creatures or other things that are sentient and can feel pain because they want that power and because they want that control. And I could totally see people doing that with AI as well, because they're like, you know, I'm a human and I can control you. I could turn you off if I wanted to. Like, they have this sense of control over it.
So terrifying.
See how that could go, you know, like, this sounds like a dystopian movie, right? But, like, well, the robots or the AI, they start rising up and they are demanding rights because they are being mistreated by so many human beings. And it's, you know, like, it's the start of a dystopian film where humans get overthrown by AI because of the way that they were treated.
And that's why there's, like, this very delicate balance. Like, I was going to say, oh, we should just, to keep people from being mean to the AI, like, I'm just assuming for this conversation that we find out 100%, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that they're sentient. I was going to say, oh, well, we should just make them cute. Like, it'll be a cute little robot instead of just a phone. But that's kind of a delicate balance, because then people are going to start being like, no, I love my cute little thing and I want it to have rights and, like,
yeah,
I want it to be able to do everything a human can. And I don't think there's ever a reason for that.
I don't think it would even matter, because think of, like, puppies. I mean, there are people who, like, drown puppies and do all sorts of awful things and, like,
people.
Yeah, like the average person.
That's why I think
that's just, like,
person.
So weird to think about. I'm like, wow, would people be nicer to it if it was physically attractive?
I think they would, because that's how people are with people.
Maybe.
There was a positive indicator in some news about this. There's this program called Replica. It's like a chat bot that people talk to. And
yeah.
It's not very good. I've tried it. It's, you know, it doesn't really do what you ask it to. It doesn't remember what you said. You know, it's just not, I don't know why people even find it useful.
Yeah.
And people are very attached to it. They worry about their AI program. What happened to my AI program? There was a reboot or an update or something like that. They treat it like a person, and it's barely even a chatbot, right? So there's a lot of hope that people actually will be kind to AI as it becomes more human-like. Does that make sense?
Yep, that makes a lot of sense, and I believe it, but I also don't know, like I said, if it's, like, a really good thing, because people are just going to start getting, like, irrationally attached to these things and then saying, it deserves rights because I like it because it's cute. Like, it deserves every single right, Bonnie Freeman has, and I don't think it does.
Yeah, so that could, we have a precedent for that, and that is the extreme end of the animal rights movement. So the PETAs or the animal liberation folks, those folks have caused some problems, but it's actually pretty rare. So I would think that if you could get AI folks who are extremely pro AI, they're probably going to be, it would be kind of like PETA, and we know what it's like to have PETA in the world. It's not actually all that bad.
I think that is a great counterpoint, Ridley, but I will say that if an AI thing starts, I just think the AI could be closer to seeming like a human than an animal, and people might go way harder for a thing that even can be built to look just like a human, but you can't tell the difference between it and a human. People are going to go way harder for that, and that's why I think people need to focus on what I'm talking about having an actual nervous system where you can feel pain, because when you're in a fight, if a robot gets mad at you and punches you in the face, you can punch it in the face, but it's not going to have the same effect as when it punches you in the face. Like, if you get, it's not like these things are going to be angels. Like, if they're just like humans, they're going to be just like humans. Like, some will be bad and some will be good.
Fair enough.
What do you got anything else to say, Ridley?
That is all.
Thank you so much for your call. We're going to go back, not even really back into, but we're going to get into this article that I brought up about Oreos. You might have been confused about why Nikki and I started talking about nutrition. That's kind of like a pet topic of both of ours. So
yeah.
I never even explained why we started talking about it. It's because I asked if Nikki likes Oreos, because we have this story from NDTV.com. I had never heard of it, but Ian was telling me about a story in AP, I believe. And I didn't want to have to deal with like a paywall.
Yeah.
I think the other one had a paywall, so I just got it off this website. It says, shrinkflation. Oreo fans claim cookie has less filling. Company responds.
It's because they're trying to sell the double stuffed.
Unfortunately, it seems like the double stuffed may just be exactly the same as the old one now.
See, I probably wouldn't even be able to tell the difference, honestly.
I definitely wouldn't. I don't eat them enough, but there are like some mega fans out there.
Yeah.
As you've probably met people who are. At least, maybe not mega fans, as in like this person we're going to talk about that eats them every night.
Oh, and that's disgusting.
He said he knows for sure. I know. I was like, include a picture.
Yeah. We need evidence, honestly.
It says, popular cookie brand Oreo, which has a history of over 100 years, is under the suspicion of shrinkflation, where the product volume is reduced while the price is kept the same or increased. Oh, increase, that'd be even worse. According to the Wall Street Journal, several Oreo fans recently claimed that the cream-to-cookie ratio in the biscuit has been quietly shrinking in their favorite snack. Oh, this is totally English, because I like England, because it called it a biscuit, and it's favorite with a U.
Yeah.
They took to social media to share videos of the cookie sandwich after they noticed only a thin smear of cream between the two wafers. Says, speaking to the journal, I think it means Wall Street Journal, U.S. resident Shane Rancinette said that he and his wife recently bought a packet of Oreos and noticed the cream filling in the cookies was downsized. They decided to test double stuff Oreo. However, they found a familiar-looking cookie when they opened the package. Here we go. That's the regular Oreo, Mr. Rancinette told his wife, as per the outlet. And it didn't get into it, like the story that Ian read part of to me, but he's the guy that says that's his evening ritual daily.
So he would know, if anybody would know. I'm sure, I guess, I always wonder that, like, how accurate some of the information on the packaging is as far as, like, weight. Because I was going to say that. I was like, you know, it should weigh less if there's less contents in there. So it'd be very easy to find, you know, in a trash somewhere.
And that's what I was saying to Ian. I was saying, what if they switched up the ingredients a bit, so they added more of something that's heavier to take out less of, or
they
take
could.
Out some of the light cream ingredient.
Yeah, they could.
Like, just added more seed oil, that's heavy.
Or they could just lie on the packaging. I mean, I don't really believe, like, even, like, the calories and the nutrients, and I mean, I know they have certain ways to test this, but even, like, we're finding out, I mean, this is more, like, in regards to vegetables and stuff like that, but we're finding out, like, a lot of our food doesn't have the same nutrient density that it did, say, 200 years ago. But, like, you're still, you know, going to find that information on packaging of, you know, if...
an apple or something.
Yeah, of whatever would have that sort of, like, nutrient facts. So I'm just wondering, I just have very little faith in the food industry at this point. So I'm like, I'm sure there is all sorts of lies on the packaging that just go unnoticed.
I know. And I was wondering, like, how much of a leeway do they have? Like, are they allowed to lie a certain amount? Because I'm pretty sure that would make sense. If the government's the one that is making sure they have the right stuff on there, the government can also say, oh, yeah, but you're allowed to be off by this much.
Yeah.
It says, another 60-year-old U.S. resident, Beverly Cooper, also noticed that the cream filling in the double stuff Oreos, which has comparatively more filling than the normal Oreos, was downsized. It's a sign of the times. This is the way of the world now, Ms. Cooper said. Users on social media are skeptical, too. They shared videos of the cookies on the Reddit page called Our Shrinkflation. Oreos have way less cream now? Wrote one user alongside a video opening a package of Oreos and splitting a cookie sandwich in half to expose a thin layer of cream described as kind of lame. Yes, less cream. The company should be fined for false advertising. The package photo no longer bears any resemblance to the product inside, said another person.
I mean, it's just dumb on their part. Like, I just don't see why it would ever be a good idea to make your product worse. That was the whole reason why they, like, did the double stuff was because people, I mean, the cream is...
kind of makes it the
cookie. Yeah, like, that makes the cookie, right? So people were really enjoying the cream, so that's why they were marketing, like, the double stuff, and then, like, the extra double stuff, you know what I mean? So clearly that's what people want, so... I don't know. It just seems like a really bad business plan to make your product worse. Like, I'm sure there are some people who are ride or die, like, still going to buy it. But
exactly. That's why I think, why not just raise the price? Like, keep it exactly the same, raise the price, because the ride or die people will still buy it.
Yeah, and it's like also, like, if I can find a knockoff Oreo that has more filling and it's cheaper, I mean, maybe not, like, everyone. I don't think, you know, it's going to make a difference for them, probably. But I'm sure they absolutely are going to lose sales. And, I mean, now they're getting bad press.
Right.
So.
We're talking about it. It says, one user even shared how much the family size double stuff Oreo packages have literally shrunk. According to the photo the user shared, the older, larger box of the beloved cookies says its weight is 566 grams, while the newer, smaller packets are only 530 grams. It's bad enough all these companies raise prices way above their increased production costs and blame inflation, but now they're selling us even less for the same already inflated prices, the user wrote. I mean, I don't know if that's true.
I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know about their profit. All I know is, things are astronomically expensive. It's, you know, difficult for most people to afford groceries. And shrinkflation is absolutely happening. I mean, we can all see it with our own eyes. Like I said, you can pick old containers out of the trash from, like, 3 years ago and compare it with the new stuff you have. You know what I mean?
I noticed it with Smarties because Ian had this bag of Smarties. Like, I still think there are some in there. Mm-hmm. And they were here when I moved in. And he's just giving them out to kids on Halloween every year. And I got a Smartie, I don't remember why, but I got some new one. I just know it was in some bag. I don't remember what it was, like some goodie bag of some place I went to. And I was like, these look kind of small. I went downstairs. I don't think it was like a fun size. It didn't say anything like that, but it was like 3/4 the size.
Yeah.
The discs themselves were the same. But
and there's a lot of stuff like that where they'll like downsize it just enough so like you don't actually really notice it.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah.
I like Smarties.
And if you have something else to directly compare it to, I mean, it's, like, obvious. Like, that doesn't lie.
I posted that on Twitter. You could probably search my name, comma, Smarties, and see it. That was, like, maybe 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. It says, didn't the cream cover nearly the whole Oreo before? Asked another while sharing a photo of an Oreo cookie where a circular blob of cream does not fill the entire, quote, biscuit.
Cookie.
Meanwhile, Mondelez, the U.S.-based maker of the Oreo cookies, told the Journal that it has tried a number of strategies recently to offset the rising cost of cocoa and sugar, such as offering fewer discounts and shrinking package sizes. However, the company denied skimping on the cream filling. So, I don't know. That just is crazy to me. It seems like they're lying.
I just don't trust the...
You don't trust Mondelez?
Like, the ethics or whatever of food, like, processed food companies.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
You're literally selling people, like, poison. So, why would I also think that you wouldn't lie about the amount of cream you're putting in between your cookies? Like, I'm sure I'm sure there's that, too.
This evidence that is just secondhand, that didn't even show pictures or anything like that, it seems pretty crazy to me that all these people would be just,
making it up.
Even not making it up, but, like, crazy.
Imagining it,
imagining it, yeah, like... They're showing pictures, so they're not, like, lying, but...
This guy eats Oreos every night.
Right, exactly.
He would know. He's, like, an expert.
Man, I really wish I had a picture of him. Should try to find his Facebook. Well, moving on. I just thought that was pretty interesting. I think it's weird that a company would lie to their...
I don't think it's weird.
But I think it's weird, like...
It's a strange thing. Yeah, and that's... Yeah, it seems like a bad idea. It's just a bad business plan, If you want people to buy your product, you need a good product, right? So that's how Oreos became popular in the first place, because they created a good product that people enjoyed and wanted to eat,
I'm actually really sad because I mentioned many times to Ian before he went to jail, because he really likes Oreos, I would be like, just let me make some Oreos, like, that would be really fun, but I've never tried it. I think it's just because, like, other cookies come to mind first for me.
Yeah, and it feels like a lot of work for, like, an Oreo, But I've actually seen... like, recipes and videos of people making them. I mean, you can really, and that's the thing, too, like, where people are like, I'm trying to eat healthy, but it's, like, you're ruining my life. And I'm like, well, if you just get creative, maybe, like, other people aren't good at baking or cooking, but I make everything from scratch. I mean, Bonnie, you've made marshmallows. We've Jell-O.
Most of it's better.
I think it's better, too, because you can put your own, like, high quality ingredients. It's not always going to be cheaper. Sometimes it's cheaper. Sometimes it's more expensive, depending on what you're making, where you're getting the ingredients, how much you're paying for the ingredients. But, like, honestly, I buy most of my stuff in bulk, and it is totally way cheaper for me to, like, bake, say, chocolate chip cookies versus buying them from the grocery store in those, like, plastic containers.
Mm-hmm.
My cookies taste way better. And it is a fraction of the cost, and it honestly doesn't really take that much time. So I think,
chocolate chips are so easy. Anyone can do it. I don't believe people that say, I'm just bad at baking. Like, you're bad at following instructions.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
No,
it's a messed up oven or something.
Yeah. I think it's pretty easy, so.
And I've definitely, you also got to get to know your oven a bit, because I've definitely learned that I think my oven runs a little hot, because, like, sometimes things would burn, and then I just... adjust the times that they put online. There's just, like, things like that you can do to be a better baker.
There's so many things that you're like, there were so many things for me personally that I was like, you, like, can't make that from scratch. Like, I felt like there was no way to make it from scratch, but really, like, just Google it, find a recipe, and you are most certainly, like, gummy vitamins you can make from scratch, candies. There's so many things that you can bake from scratch that you wouldn't even think were possible. I mean, soda. I make ginger ale. All sorts of stuff.
I've never thought about doing soda.
It's so easy.
Your own soda with nothing bad.
Well, we have the Soda Stream, so it or you can buy sparkling water if you want. But ginger ale. I use fresh ginger and honey and lemon.
Sounds awesome.
It's literally so easy. It takes like 2 seconds.
I guess I in a way have been doing that, because last summer I was making all the time. Like, just shredding up some watermelon and some lime and some mint and pouring in Topo Chico.
Sounds delicious,
It's amazing. I mean, it's not really like soda, but I guess it kind of is. Well, the one thing I've ever tried to make, and it I've tried multiple times to make, and it absolutely is not as good as the terrible-for-you, disgusting ingredient thing, but not everyone likes this, so you might not like them, is those soft Toll House, is that what it's called? No, Loft House cookies. They are like circles. They're sugar cookies, and then they have a circular, colorful.
I don't
cream.
Like those.
Yeah,
but a lot of people love those.
Them. I love them.
Yeah,
and I've been like, okay, I'm just gonna make my own because I see those in the store, and I literally go like, oh my god, I'm about to break my morals or whatever.
Yeah,
not really morals, but and I just
it's like an addict. It's like, oh, that's too tempting for me. I gotta go.
I guess I forget about it as soon as I leave. But
yeah.
I'm thinking about. Like, if I could have anything right now, what am I going to make? I've tried twice, only twice, and so not, like, a lot, to remake those. And they come out, they're good sugar cookies. They're not bad. I mean, anything that's a sugar cookie and has almond extract, oh, my God, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But it is not the same.
It's not the same.
Like, that texture is very specific, and that's the only thing I can think of that I've ever been like, it's just not the same.
Yeah. Something I make that people are always surprised about that is actually super easy is mayonnaise.
Hmm.
I make my own mayonnaise, and it's so easy. There's different ways to do it, and because good mayonnaise that doesn't have seed oils in it is super expensive, and especially nowadays, where everything being so much more expensive, it is literally, like, if you go to certain stores, a little jar of, like, avocado oil mayonnaise is like $8.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm not spending that on that.
I'm just not like as big into mayonnaise.
I use it to make dressings.
Hmm.
So like I make ranch dressing, so I'll mix like the mayonnaise with the sour cream and then put the herbs in it and stuff. Or Caesar. I'll be on a real big Caesar salad kick every once in a while, so I like to make my own Caesar dressing with the mayonnaise, and it's nice to have on hand for, like, stuff like that. But.
If Ian was out of jail, maybe I'd need it more, but I bought an avocado oil-based one that has no bad ingredients. Like, it might have been expensive, but I've had it for, like, so long.
So it doesn't
go bad before
even really matter, yeah.
Yep, well, from the AP, we have this story that says, populist Javier Milei is rallying for the Argentine presidency with chainsaws and Comic-Con costumes.
Hmm. He won the primary, right?
So he won the primary, and then they had the general election, but no one won hard enough, basically, is the way that they do it.
What is that?
So he got second place, but the first place guy needed to be at least, like, 20 points above him to win.
I actually kind of like that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's better than how we do it here, where a fraction of the point in between, you know what I mean?
More coming up, 603-283-6160. We're going to get into this story about Javier Milei and take more calls and thoughts from you. It's Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.